plate a potential nugget.
In the book, you also talk about moving from an optimizing mindset to a satisficing mindset and the link with happiness, right? I really love the example you give about how the French eat their lunch versus how, some of the Americans eat their lunch. So talk to us a little bit about this phenomenon. And the reason I ask is, in a way, you know, if I look at myself, for example, I come from a middle-class background, and we're all brought up with a more is better and let's shoot for more kind of a mindset, right? And that metaphor or that approach to life starts breaking down, and there's a cost that gets attached to pursuing more. So give us a sense of this whole notion of optimizing mindset and a satisficing mindset and the link with time poverty in your research.
Yeah, so I think this is a really important point. We do want to think about getting to time affluence by prioritizing only what's important and letting go of spending too much time on unimportant tasks in our everyday life, like in some of our data, deciding where you want to eat or what you want to eat for lunch. So I have some great data with one of my colleagues showing that the French spend more time during their lunch hour savoring their meals. They go to a sandwich shop, they pick an option very quickly, they satisfy, maybe it's not the best option on the menu, but it doesn't really matter. They're trying to have a meal, they're trying to engage in meaningful social interaction. They pick the fastest thing on a menu. In France, they also have more options, so that helps. And they spend more of that lunch hour savoring their meal and spending time with their colleagues as opposed to trying to pick the very best sandwich. In the US, we see the opposite. So US employees spend more time choosing what they're going to eat. They spend more time deliberating about, well, should I order takeout from this restaurant or this one? Should I have this salad or this one? Should I pick this dressing or this other dressing? And so they spend less of their lunch break savoring and more time choosing. And this is a perfect example of a decision that we should be trying to satisfy. Pick a similar sandwich to the one that you always have. Pick a similar salad to the one that you always have. And instead, spend more of your time savoring the meal and savoring the company. And I think in general, we all fall into this maximizing trap. In at least some of the dimensions, it falls out for everyone a little bit differently. Maybe you're someone who really wants to have the best pair of shoes. So you'll spend hours and hours and hours trying to find the perfect business shoe or the perfect sneaker that's probably equally as good as some other shoe or sneaker. And maybe we should be spending less time searching for the absolute best in that consumption decision and instead satisfice and find a pretty good shoe that's pretty stylish. And there's good research suggesting that individuals in general who spend more of their time maximizing consumption decisions on an everyday basis are less happy than people who spend more of their time satisficing on the small decisions that we're all faced with on an everyday basis. And of course, as related to time, we've actually now shown this direct link. Satisficers, like the French that we studied, are better able to savor and are happier as a result.
Fascinating. At some level, you know, one could sort of do a similar research about how people pick life partners. The time you spend in picking a partner versus enjoying the relationship, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that study.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a great idea for a longitudinal experiment for sure.
I want to link this back to what Barry Schwartz says in the context of the book Paradox of Choice. He says that consumers who have more choice should intuitively be happier than consumers with less choice. But his research suggests otherwise. He says that people are actually more unhappy with more choice because of two broad reasons. One, decision-making becomes more complex when you have to process more options. And two, the fear of missing out is more pronounced when you pick one and you see people picking something else. If I look at entertainment, at some level this insight makes sense. In my growing up years, we had Doordarshan 1, and when I went to college, we had DD Metro. All of us watched the same programs and were broadly happy. Today, we have hundreds of channels through cable, DTH, And then we have the OTT platforms like Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hotstar, and so on. And on top of that, we have YouTube, Facebook, and other platforms that dish out content. I'm not even talking about WhatsApp, TikTok, and so on. It's very easy to get into the mindset of over-researching what to watch and miss out on savoring what we end up watching. Growing up in India, I would have to admit that a lot of my mental models from my childhood have been shaped from a perspective of scarcity. You know, there are that many seats in IIT that you're competing for. You work hard, you pass through the gates. Then there are that many seats in IIM that are available. You slog, 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 and you get through the door. And then you have stringent filter criteria for several firms like McKinsey, and you walk through those doors. Back to what Ashley says, you suddenly cross the $60,000 or the $100,000 mark, but you keep plowing through as your mental models have been shaped by the scarcity mindset that's so deeply ingrained by now, and it's hard to see any other alternative version. Personally speaking, moving from a maximizing mindset to a satisficing mindset has been immensely liberating and has given me time to pursue things that I care about. This is a journey I've been on over the last 4 or 5 years, ever since I started working as a solo practitioner, and by no means have I figured this out. But I can say one thing for sure, I'm much happier today than I was 5 or 6 years back in a corporate job. I'm able to pursue things that matter to me. Learning the guitar, recording songs with family, being present with my kids, contributing to social impact, taking care of my health and wellness, and so on. I guess I'm speaking from a data point of one, but building on what Ashley says, I would strongly recommend a satisficing life after having lived the optimizing life for a while. Try it. You might like it too.